Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today we're digging into Apple's fiscal third quarter 2026 results, and Jordan, there is a lot here. Record numbers, a CEO transition, and a whole conversation about memory chip prices that got surprisingly dramatic.
Before we get into any of it, quick note for everyone listening. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right. So let's start with the headline number, $109.4 billion in revenue, up 16% year over year, a June quarter record. iPhone alone did $54.3 billion, up 22%. Mac had its best June quarter ever at $10.4 billion, up 29%. Services hit $30.7 billion, also a record.
Those Mac numbers jumped out at me the most. 29% growth is huge for a product line that's usually pretty steady. That's the MacBook Neo and MacBook Pro doing real work. And they set records for both new customers and upgraders, including the US, China, and India.
And this all happened despite supply constraints, which becomes a big theme later in the call. Profitability-wise, gross margin was 50.1%, EPS was $2.02, up 29%. But here's the asterisk. A chunk of that came from tariff refunds, worth about 2 percentage points on gross margin and 11 cents on EPS.
Right. So strip that out, and it's still a solid quarter, just not quite as flashy as the headline. Operating cash flow was $34.4 billion, also a record even without the tariff benefit. So the underlying business is genuinely strong.
Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room, memory prices. Tim Cook called this a 100-year flood on memory pricing.
That phrase is going to get quoted a lot. Basically, DRAM costs have been spiking quarter after quarter, more expensive in March than December, more in June than March, and they're expecting even higher costs in September. Apple's offsetting some of it with leftover inventory and cheaper non-memory components, but that cushion is fading.
And this is part of why Apple actually raised prices on iPad and Mac, which Cook admitted was reluctant. He was pretty candid that they look at units, revenue, and margin together rather than defending one metric in isolation.
The other supply story is the September guide. Apple's guiding 9 to 11% revenue growth for the quarter, which is a real deceleration from the mid-teens they've been running. Analysts pushed hard on this, and Cook was clear it's not a partner or vendor issue. It's that iPhone and Mac demand outran their forecasts, and there's just less flexibility in the advanced node chip supply chain than usual.
Which is kind of a good problem to have, but still a real one for the next couple quarters. FX is also a headwind, about 2.5 points sequentially. So between currency and supply, that explains most of the slowdown.
Services is worth flagging too. 12% growth was a touch below expectations, mostly FX plus some softness in mobile gaming on the App Store. But cloud services and payment services hit all-time records, and Apple now has over 1.5 billion paid subscriptions. So the growth engine's still running, just facing more currency drag than the hardware side.
Now, the big non-financial story. This was Tim Cook's final earnings call. He's handing the CEO role to John Ternus, who was on the call and fielded a question about competitive threats.
Ternus kept it pretty measured, didn't take the bait on OpenAI or SpaceX device rumors, just said Apple's focused on its own roadmap. Cook, on the other hand, got a little sentimental, thanking shareholders and analysts and reflecting that revenue was about $108 billion when he took over in 2011, almost exactly what they just reported for one quarter now.
That's a nice bookend. The other big strategic thread is Siri AI, the reimagined, more personal version of Siri unveiled at WWDC. Cook said developer and public beta feedback has been phenomenal, and it's clearly the centerpiece of Apple's AI pitch, private, on-device, integrated everywhere.
Worth noting it's not rolling out everywhere at once. Europe and China have regulatory hurdles still being worked through. And there's an open question analysts kept poking at. Does Siri AI change Apple's cost structure? Cook's answer was basically, it's early, we're watching it. with iCloud Plus upgrades as a potential way to offset compute costs.
There was also real news on the manufacturing side. A new multi-year deal with Broadcom worth over $30 billion for custom silicon and wireless tech, Apple's largest ever U.S. manufacturing commitment, plus a new advanced manufacturing center opening in Houston.
So for investors, here's how I'd frame it. The core business is firing on all cylinders, records across iPhone, Mac, services, and every geography. But the next couple quarters have real headwinds baked in, memory cost inflation, FX, and supply constraints that Apple itself says will get worse before they get better. And now, there's a leadership transition to watch on top of all that.
Before we wrap, one more required note from Jordan.
Everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
So, looking ahead, September guidance of 9 to 11% growth, gross margin coming down to 47 to 48%, and a new CEO taking the reins on the next call. Plenty to watch.
And Siri AI's actual rollout and reception this fall could end up being the real story of the next few quarters, not just the memory pricing headache.
That's it for this episode of Beta Finch. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you then.